We're looking at enjoying the fullness of the Holy Spirit. To enjoy the fullness of the Holy Spirit. To love the fullness of this wonderful person, the God, the third person of the Godhead, who resides in all those who have genuinely come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To enjoy him is to adore him. To enjoy him is to find oneself deeply in appreciation for his willingness to do what God the Father had asked. Jesus obeyed his dad and came to us, and we call it Christmas and all the things that he would do over the course of the next 30 and a half years. And then we had God the Holy Spirit, as Jesus would tell us, I won't leave his orphans, but as I go, the Father is going to send you the Paraclete. He's going to come alongside and he will be there to assist you in this life that is transforming you to be conformed to Jesus' image. As we begin to return to the chapter, I want to make sure that all of you who have come today, and specifically those of you that are here today and genuinely know our Lord Jesus Christ, that God will love you and he will never, ever desert you. I want you to own that. At times when the Word of God is opened in our Christian education classes or from this stage, people sometimes feel like, I'm going to walk away depressed because I'm realizing things in my life that really are an affront to Jesus, and I'm letting him down left and right, and we find ourselves in this tremendously discouraged depression. That's not what the Holy Spirit is about. He's your cheerleader. He is here to, yes, help you see where you might be falling down, but he also encourages us in those areas that we're doing well in. And he wants to continue to help us move beyond the very point that if we're all doing well, he wants us to continue in that direction towards excellence. He's the one that can help us do that. So on page 2 of your notes, we're going back to communicating with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to enjoy his fullness. This is his desire, and it's mine as well. As someone who gets to enjoy that fullness, not 24/7, because I'm a human being and I find myself discouraging myself when I am falling into the flesh, my humanness, having said, having done something that I know is an offense to our Savior. But our Holy Spirit wants that fullness to be manifesting itself. I find that when I'm in my fleshliness, I have moved from being someone who is a hearer of the word, a listener to the word, and I'm not obeying it. I'm not a doer of the word. But when I'm a hearer, a listener, and a doer, then I find myself in that abundant life that Jesus spoke about in John 10:10. An abundant spiritual life, one that is filled with hope and optimism and passion, as well as encouragement. He comes alongside in that P, not only with passion for him, but a positive way of looking at things. Even the negatives in my life, I can look at them in a positive way because the Holy Spirit loves me. And that love is unconditional. And he's going to walk with me and help me so long as I surrender myself to being filled with him. So here in verses 26 through 29, follow along as we spend some time unpacking this. Luke tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip." Now you can read that and just move on to the next sentence. But look at what he's really saying. Luke is pointing out that a messenger from heaven, a messenger that looks after Jesus, a messenger who is around Jesus, just spoke to Philip. Philip is this man who is full of the Holy Spirit. And he's listening now to this wonderful angel who the Lord Jesus has sent to have a conversation with Philip. Remember, Philip is a fisherman who has fallen in love with the Lord Jesus. Jesus is his oxygen. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. "And Philip rose and went." Notice here, he's a hearer and now he's a doer. Example for us. When we hear the word of God, this is the word of God. When we read it out loud, we're listening to some verses in the word of God. It is inspired by him, and it's good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the men and the women could be adequately equipped for every good work. You see, you are the masterpieces of God our Father. There is no one else in the whole world like any single one of you. That's not such a bad thing in some cases. But you're each and every one a masterpiece of his, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Remember, you're the light of the world. You are to be manifesting this wonderful Most High God, his Son, and the message he brought to us. "And Philip rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a man from Africa. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians." Candace was the queen mother, the mother of the king of the Ethiopians. And this eunuch, he has great authority and great power. And he's in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Proskuneo, remember? We see that word where we prostrate ourselves. He came to worship. Probably to literally lay face down on the Temple Mount in the court of the Gentiles and to worship God. He had come from Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And as I shared with you last week, I don't believe it was a two-wheeled war vehicle. I believe it was a cart of some kind that was had at least four wheels because he's sitting in it. And as we will see, he's reading the book of Isaiah. And it has so many chapters in it, family, that it had to be a large scroll. And they usually wrote out their scrolls on vellum, animal skins, and then rolled them up. It's not, you can't be in a war chariot riding down the road, holding on to your reins with the horse or two horses out there and your spear over here, and then trying to read this parchment. And returning, seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit, now, it was an angel earlier. Now the Holy Spirit is going to speak to Philip. Isn't this wonderful? I mean, he's a fisherman who gave his life to follow the Lord Jesus for 3 years. And with that, he gets to talk to angels. He gets to hear from the Holy Spirit himself. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Again, he's a hearer and he's a doer. I think there's a couple of examples here of what the church is supposed to be doing. Listen to the word and then do it. When Philip was selected as we didn't have deacons and elders at this particular point. There were elders within the Jewish society, if you will. But we don't see this designation of deacons yet. But nonetheless, Philip was a servant, a lowly servant. Most people would look at Philip and say, he's not anybody special. However, he had been taken down to Samaria, led hordes of people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, great miracles had been performed. Just a fisherman, just a regular guy. But he was manifesting the fullness of God the Holy Spirit in his life. Wonderful things happen in the lives of genuine Christians when they manifest the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives. He was full of the Holy Spirit in chapter 6, verse 3, if you'll remember that. In Acts 6, 3, you see it there in your notes. It says, therefore, brothers, well, let's read it aloud, okay? Those of you that are awake with me, okay? Get some room, wake the others up. Let's read it aloud together. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Now look back here. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute. Guys that have good reputations. Good reputations in the church. And as we will see, for leadership, it's to have a good reputation outside the church as well. This term here of repute is martyreo, and it's meaning you can speak well of this particular person because by experience, you know that they're good people. Okay? So this means that Philip exhibited that he was full of the Spirit. He was manifesting the Holy Spirit in his life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. When you come in contact with people, the people you work with, your kids. As parents, would you say this of your professing Christian kids? Is this what you really see in their life? Because you see, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away, and we're seeing new things being created in us? Do we see these things in the lives of those who are professing believers? This was seen in Philip, a fisherman who enjoyed manifesting the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine." And Paul here, he isn't just offering up a little suggestion. It is a present imperative. And that phone goes to baptism, you know. I saw the thing up on the screen. True, right? So, and do not get drunk with wine. It's a command. For that is debauchery, meaning living a reckless life, living a life where you're not concerned about any of the consequences. So don't get drunk with wine. Don't get high on pot. Don't be snorting coke. Don't be shooting up some heroin. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Another present imperative. But be filled with the Spirit. So we're listeners. We hear that, right? Are we doing it? Did we wake up this morning and say, "Good morning, Lord. You know I'm pretty tired. And at this moment, I'm kind of grouchy. And there's much to be doing today. And in not too many hours from now, I'm going to be meeting with my church family. And I really want them to see you and not me. I want them to have a taste of you and not me. I want to be an authentic son of yours, cleaned up, washed clean, confessed and repentant. I want to be a clean vessel that you would use me today for your glory, the honor of your Son, and for the sake of all of us who are there this morning. Please fill me with yourself in a fresh way." Being in personal communication with the Holy Spirit, Philip was open to the Spirit's direction. You and I can do and have the same sort of relationship with the Holy Spirit and see, sense, watch Him manifest Himself in us. Family, as you look at your notes, there is amazing strength in we. In we, capitalize it. Amazing strength in we. Would you say that with me? There is amazing strength in we. The we is Him and me. There is amazing strength in we, not in me. The strength comes from being a we. Teamwork is birth when you work with others. We become a we rather than a me. Teams are ruined because there are those individuals who want to be the standouts, who want to be the ones everybody's looking at, as opposed to helping the whole team be a success. Specifically, as you look at your notes, the Holy Spirit is saying to us here in Ephesians 5:18, we should not let the wine control us, but let God the Holy Spirit control us. Both forces are internal. Be filled, as I said before, is a passive command. It amounts to letting the Holy Spirit indwell us and control us completely. But that takes forethought. That means thinking about it and actually giving yourself as a living sacrifice. As we've studied in the past, we are as disciples of the Lord Jesus who take up our crosses daily and follow him. We are to come and die to self, to selfishness, to self-promotion. It is to be all about him, not about us. The wine that fills a person, the cocaine, the pot, the heroin that fills a person, takes over every area of his or her life. It'll consume you. I know. In my BC days, you would think that a hangover would keep you from ever wanting to do it again. But you see, I was a man. I was a real man. A real stupid human being spending money to feel that bad later. Not to mention driving back, you know, to base and possibly getting stopped by CHP, and here, I want you to enter into a field sobriety test. I don't think I want to really do that. Drunkenness, whatever the cause, results in behavior that you and I have been saved from. Saved from. And again, I say, isn't it wonderful that we have this unconditional, loving Heavenly Father when we mess up? Likewise, please listen carefully, the believer, you, me, who allow the Holy Spirit to influence, that is, to direct our lives, to direct our thinking, direct our very behaviors, will experience the Holy Spirit's control as long as he or she, you or me, maintains that relationship with the Holy Spirit. But you have to be thinking about it. I think if you're honest with yourself, I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody, but I doubt a whole bunch of us woke up this morning and said, "Good morning, Lord." I doubt many of us got up this morning and said, "I want to be freshly filled with you today, Lord, so that I might be your blessing in the life of someone else." Think I'm wrong? What does the Christian community not get about enjoying, loving, adoring, being ever so grateful for manifesting God the Holy Spirit in his or her life? Family, I've used this comment before. Again, where your focus goes, where it goes, your energy flows, right? Where your focus goes, your energy will flow. There is amazing strength in we, you and the Holy Spirit. You have great potential because of the Holy Spirit. There's great potential in we. Your life will be full of H-O-P-E, hope, optimism, positivity, encouragement, because you walk and you're full of the Holy Spirit. Not because of, I'm full of me, myself, and I. That is the unholy Trinity, family. We just want the third person of the Trinity who's offered himself up to be there for us all the time. Amazing, amazing strengthen we. Another translation of this command is, be being kept filled by the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit means that I belong to Christ's body. I belong to the bride of Christ. I belong to Christ's body. The filling of the Holy Spirit means that my body belongs to Christ. Remember when Paul was talking to the Corinthian church family in chapter 6? He told them, you've been bought with a price, man. The very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've become a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy of Holies is within you. And you get to spend as much time as you want with him whenever you want to spend it. That should fill a real Christian with joy. Joy. And want to enjoy the fullness of the Holy Spirit being active in his or her life. Family, here is your action step. Be being kept filled with the Spirit. Be being kept. There's no ritual in doing this. It is simply communicating with him. Holy Spirit, in this very moment, in front of my church family, I once again, I come before you as I do throughout so many days. Not just once in the morning, right? But throughout the day. Because my flesh wants to get in the mix. And my flesh is unredeemed. It is out of sync with you. But my spirit that you've made alive because of my confession of faith and repentance of my sins. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you. I'm asking you as the action step. I want to be kept being filled. I don't want my flesh to slip in anywhere between now and when I go to my office. Or if I'm going to see other people there, I please, not until I get in my car and get out there in the mix with all the other people. I'm serious, as you know, Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with you. I don't want to be filled with my flesh. I hate my flesh. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. And I love the warmth and the tenderness of you. Please fill me. Simple action step, family. Simple, honest, real. No methodologies have to be put forth. Say with me, would you? I need to be being kept filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? I need to be being kept filled with the Holy Spirit. So ask him. Ask him. As you look at your notes, I write there, I love the way that the New Living Translation begins Colossians 3:12. There in 3:12, he says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with. And I'm going to have to go there next week with you. But look carefully here. Since God has eklektos. That word is translated elected. It is translated chosen, selected. Now, the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to you right now. You understand? It's the living, active Word of God. It's there for our teaching. And he's saying here, right now, since God, our Abba Father, chose you, eklektos you, to be the hagios, the set-apart ones, the people who possess a superior moral qualities, since you are his prized possession, since you are his royal priesthood, he being king, you're his royal priest. You're the ones that are here standing out in the world. You are the ones that are filled with the light of the gospel of Christ. You are to manifest that light in the world by sharing him. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize those that you're making disciples of, and teach them everything that he has taught you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to be doers of the word. We're to be these people that are the holy people, the royal priests, the prized possessions of our wonderful Abba Father. He has taken us out of the 7.6 plus billion people in the world, and you have been his electos. You are special. And we need to see ourselves to that extent, not with getting big heads, but see ourselves lowly and humble, that he would choose us individually to be his own. Because we know what we're like outside of Christ. And he suffered for us. And he gave his life for us. And yet he still adopted us. We're his electos. Since God chose you to be the holy people set apart for him, he is seeking constantly our best and highest good, and it's been at his expense. You must clothe yourselves with. You see, we need to take off our sinfulness. We need to confess and repent of our fleshliness. I have to do this every day. Get rid of it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Point out these areas that I'm weak in, Holy Spirit. Manifest yourself by pointing them out. And it's like taking off, as we see here in Colossians, like taking off a dirty shirt. I'm buttoning this thing, and I won't do it because you don't want to see my hairy chest. But it's taking it off. It's Holy Spirit. You know, Ron, you're arrogant, and you've had evil desires. Cast them away. Get rid of them. Your pride, idolatry that enters in. You know, your grandkid got a lot more time than I did this week. Cast it away. Ron, did you tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Did you hold back anything? I know you're not on Facebook, Ron, so don't tell other people. Don't be slandering other people on Facebook. You know, anybody here in church today and last night, you just had a time of fornication? You know, that happens. That happens. I hear the confessions. Anybody here going around with some pretty foul speech this last week? Maybe this morning? Take it off like a dirty shirt and throw it away. Anybody here been disobedient to the word of God? Anybody been disobedient? Has he pointed anything out this morning? Take it off like a lousy shirt and throw it away. dirty, smelly shirt, take it off. Not giving sacrificially to the ongoing work of our Lord Jesus? Keeping it for yourself? Change your mind, throw it away. Anybody here find themselves being impatient, being unkind? Find yourself without a compassionate heart when you pass that guy at the off-ramp? Or maybe you saw him laying down in front of a store that you're going in? Throw it away. Take it off and throw it away. Get rid of it. Now with that, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, I want you to enjoy the full manifestation of myself. And there are these things that I want you to be doing. And I'll help you do it, I promise. I'll help you do every one of them. And you'll be able to do them excellently. And you know what they are? You come back next Sunday. And we'll go through them, honestly. Tenderly, okay? Get it?
Got it.
Good. Let's pray. Father, you began this morning with telling us we need to remember that you love us and you'll never let us go. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having not forgiven us for just one or two of our sins or the big ones, but that you forgave us on the cross for all of our sins. And when we confessed and repented and received you into our life as our master, oh, our wonderful, loving master and our gracious Savior. Lord Jesus, you're so wonderful to us. Thank you for these things. Thank you so very, very, very much. Thank you for the knowledge, too, that I don't know why you did it. All I want you to know is I'm really grateful that you chose me out of the 7.6 billion people that occupy this planet to be part of your holy people. Thank you for those that are sitting here before me, my church family, the ones that are real, the ones that are genuine Christians, my Lord. I thank you for having set them apart for what you want to do with them, that they're your masterpieces and you've got great work for them to do in the name of your Son. I thank you that I get to tell them again and again, because then I get to hear you telling me too that you still love me. You still love me in spite of my fleshliness. So I pray that this coming week, that you will occupy the hearts and minds of my church family, that you'll occupy my mind and my heart to take off the clothes that are so offensive to you, these sins. Please, please, as I said earlier, I genuinely want to be a vessel that is clean, cleansed by the blood of your Son. A vessel that will be used in the lives of others for your glory and for Jesus, to honor him. So go with us in such a wonderful way now. Father, may our spirits be released to meet your spirit in this musical prayer we're going to offer up to you. May there be nothing in our way. May we come before you in this musical prayer and genuinely embrace you in worship. For I ask this in the name, the wonderful saving name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.